Welcome to the Bengals Beat Podcast, presented by JoeSpoto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here every Tuesday, Cincinnati.com beat writers take you inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Hear from players, coaches, anybody else relevant to the news of the week. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes or Google Play and also listen the moment a new episode posts on our must-have Inquirer Bengals app. Let's go.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the Bengals Beat Podcast. Pumped to have you here with us, Paul Leonard Jr., Jim Osarski. Here are your Bengals beat writers for the Cincinnati Inquirer, your 3-0 Cincinnati Bengals, who we return from Baltimore after witnessing one of the more entertaining, I won't say games, because the referees made sure that that wouldn't be an entertaining game, but certainly as entertaining of as a final 8 minutes of any game that you'll see. And Bengals are 3-0, and the fans are all happy, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, I think they are. It's kind of weird. You got the one when they gave up the lead in the fourth quarter for their first deficit of the season. It was like all the angry Bengals Twitter that had been hiding in the corner waiting just showed up and was just dropping anger and, you know, bad Andy, and but I was waiting for this, and then all of a sudden Dalton has his greatest moment. So it was
they had like three minutes of anger, like a commercial break, touchdown.
Right. Oh, I guess we're supposed to like him again. It is funny just the way that some people just refuse to want to like Andy Dalton. I mean, just how quick they want to. It's similar. You know what's? I heard this. I saw this from, got to give proper credit, from Jeff Darlington tweeted this out about Andy Dalton. Was talking about how he thinks his career arc could be similar to that of Tony Romo as far as dealing with fans and perception. Mm. I mean, Tony Romo fought. I mean, he was the guy that couldn't do it, and Dallas fans hated him forever. And now he's widely viewed as a top 10 quarterback, and every Dallas fan today will tell you he's the reason that we're in trouble, you know, because they don't have him now, and all of a sudden it's all over. And he did what he did last year. I thought that was a really interesting comparison because Dalton has – although he's won, and Tony Romo won in his early seasons, actually, he takes heat for what reasons outside of being, you know, a ginger? So everybody hates him for that. But, you know, but outside of being a red-haired quarterback, he's not the first-round guy.
Right.
You know? And then Tony Romo, of course, late-round pick, you know, Eastern Illinois. What are you really talking about there? And so people question him and whether he can really do it, and then he had won a playoff game.
Yeah, it's a playoff thing for sure.
The same, there's a lot of similarities there, and if you have Andy Dalton at 34 years of age of what Tony Romo is right now, I mean, you're going to continue to have a successful run, and we're not certainly saying that, but I just thought that was an interesting comparison.
Yeah. No, it is, I think, because Tony Romo over time has changed even the – you know, I can't speak for all Cowboys fans, but I do know, at least from our perspective, like the media perception of a quarterback, that has changed. Because Tony Romo was viewed as a choker for the longest time. I mean, beginning with the botched hold in Seattle years and years ago. I mean, it was, you know, you can't start, you know, for all the times that you've mentioned playoff defeats and turnovers over the last 4 years, there's nothing quite as iconic as Tony Romo's botched hold and subsequent futile scramble, you know, on such something.
What
was such
I mean,
a
what
gimme.
If he wouldn't have gotten caught from behind on that run?
Right.
I mean, how differently would people view him?
Right.
It, 1 inch of getting caught from behind running on an extra point. That's not what quarterbacks are judged by, right?
But he was. It was sort of like the picture. And now, you know, having covered that last playoff loss, you know, the Dez Bryant rule, which we saw in effect in Baltimore,
yeah,
up close, you know, it changed a little bit. It was Tony Romo. It wasn't really his fault that they lost in Green Bay, you know, I mean, and things like that. So, you know, but you're right. Tony Romo is much older. So fast forward almost a decade.
Yeah.
You know.
For whatever reason, that connection hadn't really occurred to me. And once you kind of think about it and look at it, I mean, there's a lot to connect there. So anyway, let's reset and let's dive into this team. So Bengals 3-0, everybody's sweetheart, everybody loves them. They're the greatest thing in the NFL, the one team that can knock off the Patriots. Everybody says so it must be true. How funny is this, by the way? What did we talk about before the season started? Why is no one talking about this team?
Right.
Why is everyone down on the Bengals? Why is everyone picking them 6-10? Why is no one saying they're going to make the playoffs?
I don't want to say the consensus, but it definitely was a favorite Super Bowl pick is now 0-3 up at M&T Bank Stadium that we saw up close.
Right, and the other one is 1-2 thanks to stopping a 2-point conversion against the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
I mean, you know, teams that deal with changeover, and those of you that listen to the BBP every week are like, Paul, we know continuity. We've heard it. But I'm telling you. How many times do you have to look around the league and to see this? Early in seasons in particular, when you make these off-season splashes and you have all this turnover, you struggle early. Baltimore has no clue what to do with their second wide receiver position. They have nothing. They have a guy named Crockett Gilmore who's actually playing fairly well at tight end, and outside of that, they have number 89 on offense and two bad tackles.
Yeah.
Because they let guys, because Torrey Smith is gone, and because they're missing Eugene Monroe, obviously. But, you know, and then their tight ends, they turned that position over to youth. And on defense, obviously without Terrell Suggs, but they have two new safeties back there.
You think new big that guys showed? In the middle, yeah.
You think their two new safeties having miscommunications was an issue on Sunday when Andy Dalton threw for 383 yards?
Right.
I mean, that's what happens. And the same thing with the Colts. You bring in a bunch of new guys trying to work together for the first time. And, you know, I don't care if you've been in the league forever, Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, whatever.
Right.
You got to develop chemistry. It takes time. You got to be building on stuff.
And the problem with time is that in an NFL season, that's at a premium. You know, yes. I mean, no one, at least in the locker rooms in Cincinnati and Baltimore, we're going to go so far as to say the Ravens are done, even though the math says they are. But 0-3, 1-2, it's not good when you only have 13 other games, you know, to try to make up what is now, at least for the Ravens, a 3-game deficit.
Yeah. And we wrote about this on Monday, but, and players were obviously not wanting to jump into the big picture topic right now, but it is undeniable. And kind of Marvin Jones said some of that. I'll bring you that a little bit of that in a little bit, but when you are 3-0, and the Steelers are without Ben Roethlisberger now. He obviously has the knee injury, MCL, 4 to 6 weeks. Does anybody doubt, by the way, that he'll be back for that Bengals game, hobbling out there as he does, probably throwing for 350 yards off one leg? How many times do we – I think he does this on purpose. Like, he likes to hurt himself early in the season so he can come out, you know, Willis Reed style – every game, heroically, hobbling up and down the field and just slinging it. I mean, the dude does this every single year. So no one's certainly counting the Steelers out. But the bottom line is they got to survive with Michael Vick for 4 to 6 weeks. So, and the Browns are the Browns. So we're not even going to touch that. They're still starting Josh McCown, by the way. not giving in that maybe this guy. Did they watch any Tampa Bay film last year?
No. Well, they watched Johnny Manziel up close last year, so at least
that's true. But at least he's done something when he's been in there this year. Wow! So the Browns are going to keep doing Browns things. Now, so here you are, this next month, in the dynamic of the AFC North, will be far more telling than October usually is.
Right.
The Bengals have two home games, and a trip to Buffalo. Buffalo, a nice team, certainly. They're doing a lot of good things. Maybe Tyrod Taylor is not half bad. That one has me pretty shocked. But, hey, what are you going to do? Two home games and a trip to Buffalo while the Steelers try to figure out how to win with Michael Vick. The Ravens try to dig out of 0-3. Oh, by the way, Ravens and Steelers on Thursday. And the Browns continue to brown. You have the possibility to extend this lead to 2-3 games by the midway point of the season.
Right.
In this division, that never happens.
Right.
Never. I mean, I was going back through the numbers. 6 of the last 7 years, the division has been sided by one game or fewer or a tiebreaker. And multiple teams have made the playoffs.
Right.
This doesn't happen. This chance, this opportunity.
Right.
And maybe Michael Vick is the savior, but I mean this is a big month all of a sudden.
It is. Well, the Bengals have good teams to beat. I mean, Kansas City, we could debate how good they actually are. I felt they were a playoff team to start the year. They haven't really shown much at first 3 weeks of the year. Seattle, obviously, but long road trip plays in their favor. I mean, you're right. If they can, you know, as Marvin Lewis says, protect home.
Yeah.
If they win 2 out of 3, losing on the road, unless it's to an awful, awful team, isn't really a black mark. So if they go 2-1 and are sitting at 5-1,
yeah,
you're right. It's possible they have a 2-3 game lead, especially because, you know, Baltimore and Pittsburgh get it going in the division, you know, this Thursday.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe we'll get a tie game.
just
throw it all into chaos and permutations.
I can't do another tie, man. I can't do it. That one took the life out of me last year. Because you know what? Because every time you got to go put in the record, you got to use that tie
right.
column. It really is for a scribe. The tie is such a pain
right.
in the ass.
It is. It's the I've covered one tie. That was the Aaron Rodgers broken collarbone year where they tied Minnesota.
Yes,
and it was so awful. The game was brutal. It was terrible. Packers were not good, but yet that tie helped them win the division.
Yes,
and get in the playoffs at 8-7-1.
The tie, if the Bengals would have completed that final drive in Pittsburgh last year and won that game, would have been the difference as well.
Yeah.
for them. They're lucky it didn't cost them anything, though. I'm sure Mike Nugent's happy about that. Here's the Steelers' schedule the next until they play the Bengals. They don't have a bye, which they don't luck out in that fact. They have the Ravens on Thursday night, which that'll be a bloodbath game.
Right, and it's a quick turnaround for Michael Vick to try to get starters reps and any sort of rhythm.
Luckily, he'll go up against the Baltimore secondary. Then Pittsburgh goes to the Chargers
with a long week
on a Monday night. So that's no Monday night game across the country. They do get the long week of prep, so that's an advantage for
right.
them. And I wasn't super impressed with the Chargers, but they've got some offense.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big game for them. They host the Cardinals. They're not winning
no.
that. They're not the way the Cardinals are playing. And then they go to
Unless
Kansas.
Unless they bring out a certain defensive lineman to just, you know, pass rush.
Oh, you're gonna bring Kemo back? What if they did what if they honored him? How great would that be? Carson comes to town. They do their Steelers legend of the game is Kemo Von Ohlhofen. Out he comes. You know, they show the highlight or low light of Carson's knee getting buckled, which, by the way, Ben's injury sure had a similar
right.
feel.
In this day and age, teams are getting good at trolling other teams.
Yes.
I don't think we're to that point yet, although maybe probably because it's the Rooneys and Mike Tomlin, but it still would be.
If
the video operator went rogue for a little while.
My favorite trolling was when St. Louis sent out all the players they got for the Robert Griffin draft
yes.
trade for the opening coin toss, all 7 of them or whatever. That was strong
yeah.
as hell. It was subtle, but it was so
right.
apparent. All these dudes could have been yours. You gave them to us. Thank you. And now we're going to whoop you with them. It's just fantastic for RG3. Oh, that was great. But anyway, so that, I mean, Let's look at the schedule. Ravens, Chargers, Cardinals at the Chiefs. At Arrowheads,
yeah, that's
is
hard.
Is a tough place to play, no matter what you think about the Chiefs' offense. If they can split there, I think they're happy. Probably,
yeah, I think so.
If they split there, they're happy. So they'd be 4-3, right?
Right.
The Bengals would be 5-1. I mean, that's a decent little cushion for when they get bent. And it doesn't put the division away by any stretch. Because they also have almost all of their division games. They'll still have two Browns games, two Bengals games, and the other Ravens.
Right.
So only one division game will be played without Ben Roethlisberger.
But what's interesting about that timing, though, Paul, is that the Bengals will be coming off a bye. So while Pittsburgh's still trying to get itself together, and not only that, you know, if we go by what Marvin Lewis has said, you know, the Bengals not only off the bye, but will get that emotional lift defensively with return of Vontaze Burfict.
Right.
And even if Burfict only plays, you know, 40% of the snaps as he gets himself together, what are the snaps he's going to play? Pass rush, right? I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know.
You would know better. But it'd be one of those things where I could see Vontaze Burfict wanting to get after Ben Roethlisberger,
sure.
A wobbly Ben Roethlisberger, and see exactly how healthy that leg is.
Yeah, that'll be a fun conversation that week as far as how Burfict will.
So it sets up for the Bengals,
yeah,
in terms of you're right with this Pittsburgh thing, because you're right. If they got a two game cushion going into that game, everything would point to, you know,
or this is a replica of last year, and we're about to see the reality check. I mean, let's not forget what we're talking about. The same thing happened last year. 3-0, loving themselves. And I want to, there's a couple of things that I want to get into.
Are they smelling themselves?
Tell me, thank you. Yes. George said it. Yes. George I. Logan said this yesterday. He's like, you know, we last year that he thought that they were got a little too high in themselves, were smelling themselves, which I love that he's bringing smell yourself back. That's great. Almost as good as when I was in the elevator in Baltimore with Chris Carter. Carter gets on. I'm there with our photographer, Sam Green. Carter comes on. He got his headphones on. So I don't know if he really even sees or notices. He's kind of in the zone. I think it was Saturday. And he's kind of in the zone. And so I kind of try to say hi, but I don't think he heard me. And then you go down a couple floors. It opens up. And he just kind of gives out just generally to the world, just throws out a word with his deuces up. Just throws up two. And I'm like, I love it. I've been trying to bring Word back for a while, man. I love Word. And I just hope that it's back.
Not Words with Friends.
No. Well, I like Words with Friends, too.
Okay.
If you want to play me, bring it. Okay, I will take you down. But I love Word. I love smelling yourself. All these things are great. You don't care, do you? You're just
I smelling yourself was good. I enjoyed George bringing that back.
Word. So here's where I was going with wherever the hell I was going with all that. So here's where I'm going with that. Did you notice this? We've actually not talked about this, so I'm curious your response. Did you feel like that locker room on Monday and even Sunday after the game felt a little bit like they were smelling themselves? Felt a little loose, a little hell yeah, we've done something. Did it feel a little overconfident to you?
It did to me. Interesting. I didn't get that feeling. We talked to different people. That's the benefit of both of us being there. Honestly, I try to avoid you.
I know. That's
in the locker
room.
If
I see you near me, I get pissed.
Right.
I'm like, damn it. I got to go find somewhere else. Someone else to go talk to.
You know, Sunday, I mean, I think guys were happy that they won and in the fashion that they won. But I didn't take that to mean, you know, we're amazing. Guys, you know, and Marvin Lewis alluded to this Monday where he said, look, we've been at 3-0. Guys are confident because they know what it means. But other than that, you know, there's still a lot of football, blah, blah, blah. And then even A.J. Green, he said, well, we can't believe the hype. So the natural follow-up was, well, last year, did you believe the hype? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I didn't quite get it. It was more of a sense of we've been here before, and I had several guys mentioned New England. So I think the fact that they just got trucked last year and the fact that they were willing to bring it up.
It also was a beehive game. I mean,
yeah.
That was – they went right – a week of Belichick and right. Brady hearing from the detractors the same way this whole season is going to be for all their opponents.
Right.
Going in there, in their house, on a in prime time.
Right.
Brady coming out with a point. The Bengals were not – no, yeah. I don't know how many teams would have handled that. However, it was that whole three-week stretch because then the tie
right.
and getting just thumped in Indy.
Right, yeah. So I think that's why I say no to that, Paul, is just because – The veterans acknowledge how good it is to start 3-0 because it really sets you up for a playoff berth. But New England popped up a couple times, and it was just like we've been here before. And you know, last time it didn't go very well.
Yeah, that's another part. It's just you kind of. It's just this pattern is so damn familiar, of starting hot, swooning in the middle, and then. That they've actually charged late almost each of the last 3 years. And you know, 2013 was similar, but they kept it up a little bit more.
So is the difference spinning it forward, you know, to this weekend or beyond? I mean, is the difference what we saw Sunday late out of 14?
Right. I mean, that's because at the end of the day in this league, if your team is down a little, the quarterback can always be the one to lift them up and pull them along. For this team, it's always been about the team carrying 14. But that's what was different Sunday. And what really has been different for a lot of the year. I mean, we got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, he made some – go back through all his touchdown passes this year, okay? How many of those were fantastic throws? How many of those would an average NFL quarterback have made? And how many of those were the skill position player lifting them up? Let's start Sunday. You had the bullet to Marvin Jones. That might be one of Dalton's best passes ever.
Right.
I mean, the anticipation and putting it on – I mean, Marvin Jones even said after, I almost didn't even know how the hell the ball got in there, but it's cool, you know.
Yeah.
The other Marvin Jones touchdown against San Diego, deep ball. You can't throw it better than that. A perfect
right.
throw
in stride,
right on it. Now, granted, Jones had broken free.
Right.
But the ball was perfect. If he was blanketed, it would have been a touchdown. A.J. Green, the 80-yarder, get out of here.
Right.
Get out of here. Unbelievable anticipation, pushing the ball down the field. This
right.
isn't the short stuff. We talked so much last year about Hugh Jackson trying to rein Andy Dalton in, the shorter throws, the safer throws, less of that throwing the
right.
ball down the field, safer, get his completion percentage up, let other players make the plays. That's not what that was.
Right.
That was anticipating a ball when AJ wasn't even around the guy in the seam and the ball was out and it was out there on a rope. And landed right in the perfect spot between three defenders out there.
Right. How about the two touchdowns that weren't? A.J. Green's drop in Oakland, to me, was, I mean, it was dropped in. I mean, there was no other place to put it other than your guy
yeah.
supposed to catch the ball between the boundary and his, and then the Tyler Eifert drop in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, it hit him right in the hands towards the middle of the field in stride again.
Yeah. And how about him throwing at the back of helmets?
Right.
I mean, in Oakland, when the DB have had their backs turned, he's thrown the ball up where only his guy can get it, right in the perfect spot. His 8 touchdowns have all been really good throws by an NFL standard. I mean, high end touchdown throws, and we haven't seen the disaster throws. This is a quarterback lifting his team, not the team lifting his quarterback. And we have talked about this. This has been the topic for 4 years, and definitely since they paid him $96 million, that you pay a guy $96 million who can lift your team, not the other way around.
Right.
It has to be that way because that's how the salary cap is structured. If you're going to give a guy
right.
that much money, he's got to be the one lifting. And so that's why you believe maybe this is different. is because of him. And we've known that all along, that the only way that this year and this team will be different than the others is if Andy Dalton makes it so.
Right. So here's, I guess, the question every Bengals fan has to answer for themselves is, what do you believe, and if not, when do you believe? And I understand that, and we saw it on Twitter. It's like, oh, what about January, second week of January? It's all about then. But you know what? Yep. You need to get there first.
Yeah.
So we can't fast forward time.
All he can do is play
right.
now.
So I'm curious, you know, if this just falling under hot Andy? You
right.
know, like, is this just, you know, some fans, oh, this is another four-game stretch, player of the month type caliber, you know, let's see what happens in October, November. Or if you're, as you just mentioned, those throws, and there's a whole lot of other stuff you could point to where you're like, wow, those subtle things throughout a game, you add it up over 12 quarters, is way different. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I'm curious where that's at for Bengals fans.
I think they should be starting to consider turning, if that makes any sense. Because the bottom line is the bottom line. He will never silence Bengals fans until he does it in a playoff
right.
game. Period. End of story. I'm not going to continue along that line anymore because that's the answer. But as far as what we should take from this, I think you're seeing more of what you need. Let's dive into this. Because Hugh Jackson's charge and the charge of every offensive coordinator in the NFL is develop your quarterback. Develop a quarterback or make your current good quarterback better.
Right.
If you don't make your quarterback better, you will not be an offensive coordinator in this league for very long. Or just have Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, so Hugh Jackson had that clearly almost as much as any coordinator in football as his job when he took it over last year. And, you know, some would say that Andy regressed. His numbers all went in the wrong direction.
Right.
His interception rating went up. You know, his passer rating went down. Yards per attempt was down. All these telling statistics. The team still won some games, and Dalton deserves a lot of credit for that. But what you're seeing this year, it was what everybody knew was the difference to him getting over the top in the postseason. And that was confidence, ownership, fire, and emotion. Because this was a guy that cringed, that went into his shell in the biggest moments, right? That's the argument,
right?
Right? Primetime, playoffs, nervous, tight, freaks out. That comes from a lack of confidence, ownership, fire, all competitiveness,
right.
all that stuff, whatever you want to say. And that's what we're hearing the most right now is that is changing. And we won't know until it's fully happened. But that's maybe why you believe more than anything. And that's what Hugh Jackson has been trying to put into him for a while now.
Right.
And he even told us on Monday, and I've never heard him say this before, he's seeing that come out of
right.
Andy now. What he's been trying to pull out of him, that he's seeing that now. To me, that is maybe more reason to believe than any of the stats.
No, exactly right. And Hugh, you know, I think Hugh could sell vacuum cleaners to a church that's all hardwood floors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there is something to. I get inspired listening to Hugh Jackson sometimes, and I can't throw a football more than 20 yards anymore.
Right.
It is their relationship is interesting and it is working. I mean, I haven't been here, so this is all I know. This is the only Andy that I know. And but I can only go with what you and the guys in the locker room say, and you're right. There is a thing, you know, and that whatever that is, the thing that no one can quite define and all the things that you just listed somehow has resulted in 8 touchdowns that you can look at and
right.
break down, and you can look at drives and pre-snap checks and all that stuff.
Yep.
So that's the age-old question, right? The intangible, what does that mean? Is it just coach speak?
Yep.
Is it just sports BS? How does it translate? Well, you know, that's, I guess that's why intangible. No one ever knows, but at least through three games, they feel they see it.
Who's the most anti-Andy Dalton personality in the Bengals locker room? Of all 53-plus injured guys, who would you say is the personality that is the most in life, right? Not in football, in life.
Right.
That's maybe the most opposite Andy Dalton.
Probably Adam Jones.
Yes. Or, in very similarly, Vontaze Perfect.
Right.
I think, like, just...
Just because I haven't seen Tez play yet.
Could you imagine just seeing, like, Andy Dalton and Vontaze Perfect, at, you know, going through Kroger shopping, or at Kings Island, you know, riding rides, whatever. They're just different. They come from different walks of life, different types of people, different personalities. Right. Andy Dalton would never do the things Vontaze Perfect does. Vontaze Perfect would never act like Andy Dalton does. Do you see Andy winning over? I mean, do you see the perfect reaction after the final touchdown? And did you see just the way in the locker room, even Perfect's personality and Jones as well? I used to say when Perfect first became the defensive leader, and everyone said, well, why is Andy Dalton that? I said, the moment Andy Dalton wins over Vontaze Perfect is the moment that Dalton has done something, you know, because that's as hard as it gets. Right. I mean, really wins over Vontaze.
Right.
Not to saying the right things and all that stuff, but clearly wins over.
Right.
That looked like a guy that has won over Vontaze Perfect. And that means he's probably won over everybody. And there's a difference between everyone saying Andy's the guy, Andy's the leader, but knowing he sucked in the playoffs and that we're kind of carrying him a little bit.
Right.
And him going out there in Baltimore with everything against him and winning the game twice, lifting everybody up.
Right.
I think that difference was known, and I think that's why the locker room felt different after the game.
Right.
On Sunday. It was loud. It was raucous. It was like a team discovered, oh, my God, we might have the quarterback.
Right.
You know? It kind of felt like
It felt happy, yeah.
I
would say definitely a lot. I would agree with that more so than them thinking they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Or you know, this was precursor to 14-2. No, for sure. There definitely was you're right, because you can't fake, you know, the sideline thing. It's funny. You some guys are very aware of cameras, and some guys think about that, you know, when they react or don't react. That seemed all very genuine to me.
Absolutely.
You know, especially even the DBs meeting A.J. Green after the touchdown. And just, you know, having been around some teams that win a lot and have Super Bowl, you know, aspirations, I've seen that.
You have to have it.
And it's, you know.
You have to believe in your quarterback, and your quarterback has to know without doubt that the rest of the team, including even the guys that are completely different than him, believe just as well. He's got to own the trust of the offensive linemen just the same as guys like Perfect and Adam Jones and whatever, just different personality. So, you know, I think that's worth something. I want to bring in here's what I want to do. I'm going to bring in a compilation of different people sort of on this, everything we kind of just talked about revolving around Andy Dalton. Hugh Jackson, Adam Jones, Marvin Jones, a number of different people talking about this kind of topic and what Andy Dalton means. And, you know, enjoy the Bengals sort of weighing in on how things might be changing with their quarterback.
I just think we try to take the gray out, you know, of a quarterback's mind. You know, play, you know, like you're in the backyard. You know, this offense, as you guys can see, our offense has a little backyard element to it. You know, you kind of play, and but it's all driven by pinpoint accuracy by the quarterback. They're able to throw the ball, you know, very accurately and be very smart and trust the guys that we put around you. I think he's gotten that. You know, again, it's three games. You know, we got 13 more to go. And if he can continue to keep doing what he's doing, then great things are going to happen for us. But I'm not surprised by anything Andy's doing. I've watched, as I said before, a young man put in all the work I could have ever asked any quarterback to do in the offseason to give themselves the best opportunity to have success in the season. So we're off to a good start, and we're as good as we can be right now. You know, an offense minus a couple of turnovers the other day and a couple of misplays here and there, but that's also pro football. So we'll keep growing from that.
How much of his evolution this year has been not just the great throws, but none of the disaster throws? Is that maybe the biggest difference for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's that if one does happen, it's not followed up by three, four more.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're able to get out of that slide pretty quickly, and we want to continue to do so. I mean, he's going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. You know, you can't keep repeating them, you know, and you can't keep having to talk about the same things over and over again. And we don't. You know, he is I'm happy with where he is. I know Coach Lewis is, and I think he's doing great things. But, again, we, as you guys know, you got to reinvent yourself every week. You know, that's something I talked about the guys today. Last week's last week. That's over with. You know, it's what we're going to do this week. You know, we're another opponent, another good football team, different scheme, different challenge. And so now you got to get ready for this challenge. And you got to master the challenge every week.
When you talk about backyard element, Hugh, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think because you got to make some plays outside the pocket. It's not just go back, take three steps, hitch and throw. You know, the defenses don't let you do that anymore. You know, the real good defenses, they're going to force the quarterback to move around and make plays outside the pocket, which he did. I mean, a guy ran for a touchdown yesterday. The completion to Geo was huge. You know, the other run on third down. So you have some of that element where a guy has to have that kind of mentality, you know, to where you go make plays outside the pocket. So I think he's improved in all the areas that we've thus talked about. I mean, because you watched him do it in the game. That's what gave us a chance to win. And the more he can do that, the better he's going to become.
What was the one thing yesterday that maybe pleased you the most, if anything?
That we responded, that nobody blinked. You know, that when they scored and went ahead, I mean, Andy looked at me and said, okay, coach, let's go. Don't worry about it. That's what he said. I mean, a year ago, I can't tell you he said that. This year, that's what he said. He said, coach, don't worry about this. He says, hey, well, we don't have to get it all back right here. But if you want to, we can do that. You know, I go, okay, I got you. But there was a calmness. There was a veteran player who had been through the wars, who had been through a lot of things here, that looked me in the eye and said, let's go. You know, okay, they stole one from me. I threw one in a bad spot. You know, they stripped me of the ball and ran back for a touchdown. I'm not even blinking about this because let's go on to the next series. And that's what it was. And that's what I've been looking for. So it's there, you know. And now it will pay off for us in the long run as we continue to move forward. Do I want it to be like that all the time? No. But I know it's in there for our guys. And, again, it starts, again, with our quarterback and our left tackle and our right tackle. And those guys get it, you know. And I think you keep pulling enough guys along that pretty soon the oneness of what we're looking for and how you have to play, it just starts to show up, you know.
Is that what he told you? He said, if you want to get it all back.
What he said to me, he says, coach, he said, let's just call our offense. He goes, we don't have to. He said, there's no panic here. He says, you know, so let's just get some good plays. He said, but if you want to get it all back, we can do that too. You know, because he knows. I mean, and again, he was laughing. I want you guys to know there's jokes going on out there between me and him sometimes. That's how comfortable this has become, and that's what you want. I mean, there was a time yesterday I'm time out and meet him, and I'm saying something, and he knows what I'm saying. He's just sitting there looking at me, laughing, and going, hey, coach, I got it. You know, that's how he is. The last play, you know, that was remarkable. I mean, I'm giving him the play and about to talk him through the scenario in case this happens. He's like, coach, I got it. Let's go. Here we go. I mean, that's a comfort level. That's spending the time in here. That's spending the time in the classroom. That's what you want from your leader and from your quarterback. And I think that's why he has so much respect down in that locker room, because they know the time he puts in. Rush, you can't do the things that he does.
And you've seen so many QBs over the years. You've watched him sort of grow. Some of the Ken Zampese he was telling me, he's like, I asked him what's different. And Ken's like, I can feel him. wherever he is. And I know it's an intangible, but so I'm curious your perspective around in here, sideline, like just kind of.
I can tell Andy know that what we need to do and what we got to do to get over the hump, but he's playing with a lot more confidence. He's speaking up around here a lot more. He's telling guys what they should be, what's not right, what's right. So I just think he's doing a better job of being a leader. He's figured it out. And, it take a guy a little while when you're coming in the locker room and with guys that's been around a while. But right. I think he's doing a good job.
Is that I mean, you, everyone here, every player, I mean, you all want to get better, and as you get older, you do get better, but it's also, you know, what do you do for me today? Do you think people kind of forgot that he's only 27, 28? And, I mean, QB's pitch are like 40 now. Like, there was still room to get better. And I remember
seeing there was always room to get better.
Yeah.
But, you know, people don't think about the time period. People want to win now. So it's all about what you've done for me last, not what you're going to do for me in the future.
Right.
So I think he's doing good though.
What is and then just like I'm being a defensive player, you know, Ken pushing Easy and AJ and Mo said, you know, in the past maybe, you know, if there was a turnover or if things didn't go right for the offense, we could see it kind of linger and maybe it would roll. And they're like, this year, you know, first two games, if the drive stalled out, QB didn't care.
I think Baltimore. It got a lot to do with Hughes too.
Okay. Yeah.
Hughes is doing a good job of keeping those guys focused and mentally ready. So a lot of it got to go with you too.
Yeah. You know, when you have a bond with, you know, quarterback and the receivers and the tight ends and stuff like that, when you have a connection, you know, the stuff starts to happen. You know, and as much as it happens, the better we're gonna be, you know. And you know, and that's goes for us running our routes, getting our correct depths, and him trusting us to be where we're supposed to be and where he expects to be, and you know, vice versa. You know, we trusting him that he's gonna put the ball where we're gonna make the plays and stuff like that. So it goes both ways, and you see that happening right now.
Quarterbacks are often measured by what they do in the fourth quarter and those kinds of drives, mm-hmm. when you really need it. When you see Andy do that two drives in a row, does that even heighten your confidence in him or your trust in him?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When you're faced with those situations and you capitalize, you know, like that, you know, with ease. I wouldn't necessarily say with ease, but I mean, it was really like everybody was like, yeah, let's just go do it. Boom, boom, boom. We did it. Oh, we got to do it again. Let's go do it again. Boom, boom. And when you have that sort of demand when you're in the huddle and, you know, when you're faced with adversity, it does bring a great deal of confidence and stuff like that. And he's done it before. We've done it before. It's just great. It's just a great thing to be a part of.
Was there a difference in his demeanor after the sack and fumble that when they took the lead when he came back out for that?
In a more positive way, yeah. You know, just because he was like, okay, well, you know, forget that. Let's do this. You know, we're here now. You know, and we're faced with a challenge, and we have to overcome it. And that's kind of the demeanor he had. You know, it wasn't, oh my gosh. You know, it was, okay, let's go out here. You know, we know we're gonna score. You know, let's just go do it. And that's what we did. So that was a big step forward.
So there's where we sit with that. And so now the Bengals flip forward. Kansas City comes to town on Sunday, coming off a thumping on Monday Night Football. You know, of the teams the Bengals have played, I would argue the next three are all better than the previous three. Maybe the Chiefs and the Ravens. Maybe you could have that debate. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
or maybe the Chiefs and the Chargers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are good. I think the Chiefs are a good team. They have a great defense.
Front seven.
They have a great front seven.
They
honestly, Marcus Peters. I mean, that dude.
Well,
that kid's.
I understand good. Aaron Rodgers is really good.
Yeah, come on. Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau is no way to judge anybody.
Well, but they're hurt back there. And I know they're going to get cornerback Sean Smith back, but here's a dude who hasn't played for 3 weeks. that you're going to just put out there. They lost their starting nickel corner. Their front seven's very good. You're right. I mean, I picked Kansas City to go to the playoffs to start the year. They still might be in that weird space of figuring it out, as you mentioned, the consistency thing. They'll be a little desperate. They are good. I'd put them with the Chargers, I guess. You know,
similar.
It would be a good win,
yeah.
I think.
My point being, you know, we'll learn a lot.
Right.
Seattle, obviously,
right.
I think is better than the other three. And Buffalo, I think, is better than
the
other three.
Yeah,
it's proven to be at these,
in New
this
York,
point.
Yes.
I mean, them going down and beating up on Miami, who Joe Feldman, is he still a coach?
Oh,
did they fire him yet?
No.
That's got to happen. So, you know, 3 weeks and in the bye, and then
right.
you get into it. So you'll learn a lot more about this team.
Right.
Man, imagine if they are 4-0 and Seattle comes to town. I mean, you have a chance. Then, by the way, this team will no longer be under the radar. As
no,
Jacob Patrick
yeah.
wants them to stay.
Right.
Loves under the radar.
Right.
He joked with us that he's like, I don't care when the Nash people come in. And I'm going to say, I don't talk to y'all. I don't know y'all.
Right.
I only talk to guys I know. But because he wants to stay under the radar.
Right.
Well, that ain't going to happen if this team continues to do what it's doing, sitting where they are. But that can change very quickly. And we'll see. We'll see what it does. But so where, as far as where this team's doing fairly well health-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably been an encouraging thing, too. I mean,
just
compared to this time last year.
Yeah, your weekly bumps and bruises.
And this time last year, you had turf toe, had just started with A.J. Green. Marvin Jones, you were about to learn, is going to miss the whole season, not just the first 4 weeks. I mean, the injuries were starting. So right now, you're doing fairly good. George Iloka took himself out of Sunday's game.
Right.
But let me ask you this. I have my thought on this. So George Iloka, he's playing through an ankle.
Forget which ankle, but it was an ankle injured in Oakland.
He was a full participant in practice, not even on the injury report, if I remember correctly. I don't think he was on the injury report all week. I remember thinking, oh, I guess George is doing a lot better.
Yeah.
Yet he gets out there in the game, and after a few bad plays, takes himself out. George didn't get his contract. Sure didn't. He wanted.
Nope. Yeah.
That he wanted. We all know he wanted it. Everybody knows he wanted it.
Yeah.
And you're a little hurt, and maybe you think it's maybe slightly affecting your performance. Kind of feels like a business decision.
Could be. Yeah.
Just a thought. I'm not saying it's true.
And that's the interesting.
I'm saying that's an easy connection to make.
Right. And that's an interesting. You know,
that's an issue if that is the case.
Yeah. Wow. It's an interesting thing because, it's very un-NFL
to pull yourself out of the game.
It's very un-NFL. However, we've also seen guys stay in games who are hurt, and then after the fact, maybe that wasn't the best thing for me to do. And it's interesting because I think before the year, we talked about George's impact and how good he is or can be. So it's like, it's that weird gray area of professional football,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
If you can play, you're supposed to play. There's a difference between hurt and injured. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up, but if you, that bears watching, Paul. It's great to bring up because it's that they need him out there for the defense to be fantastic.
Yeah.
But then, is the defense fantastic?
Yeah.
If he feels he's not better than Sean Williams, it's interesting.
And his point was Sean Williams has played good when he's out there, so he felt okay letting Sean Williams go and play. But tapping out of an NFL game, a tight NFL game. When you can go, you just may feel like you're a little hampered, but you practiced all week. I don't know. Interesting. Drake or Patrick talked about after the game. Adam Jones as well. I thought about tapping out. Dre hurt his shoulder
right.
pretty bad. It was in a sling on Monday, trying to tackle Steve Smith, but he said, I got to keep going. I got to keep fighting for the team.
Right.
Now, I don't, you know, how much is that talk? I don't know. But it wasn't a sling on Monday.
Right.
So he was definitely playing through pain. And going against Steve Smith playing through pain is a little different than going against somebody else playing through pain. And he said, but I had to push back. I had to just keep playing from that. That's the NFL mentality.
Right. And I don't know if that's, yeah, exactly.
And we've never seen this from George Ford. He's played every snap of pretty much every game.
Right.
His career.
And I wonder how different this narrative is if Max Williams actually catches that ball when Sean Williams is like 8 yards away
at the
end of the game.
Oh. Could you imagine?
I mean, there were some, you know, I watched some of the plays, the All-22s after Iloka pulled himself and Sean Williams. I mean, you know, put it this way, it was good that the front seven
did what they did.
Did what they did.
Yes.
I mean, maybe Sean obviously was kind of, I definitely, in that situation, he probably was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And that I'm not saying he wasn't prepared, but it of all the surprises, I mean, usually there's an injury and you get like, you can kind of like take that 60 seconds to flip your headspace.
Yeah.
Right. And, but yeah, you know, Sean was kind of out there on that last play that Joe Flacco kind of
you're right about that. Well, we got to wrap it up. We're done stirring up controversy. So let's wrap this baby up. Bengals, Kansas City. We'll have reaction to that next week. Beyond the Stripes this week. So Tuesday night, Clint Bowling, and then next Tuesday, Giovanni Bernard will be our guest. That's going to be fun. Gio's always a fun guy to have on the show. So make sure you come down to Moreline Logger House. And the Reds are done after this week, so you don't have to worry about Reds parking and all that stuff. So we've got huge crowds in the non-Reds games. Huge. So get down there early. Get yourself a spot and take it in. It's been a lot of fun. Played beer pong with Michael Johnson last week, who had not played before. Claims he had not played,
so
and then
says.
Backed it up with, right. with his skill. Those types of things will continue. We'll have lots more shenanigans as the year goes along. Of course, keep listening to the podcast every Tuesday. Keep watching our prediction videos. We're both 3-0.
Yeah,
I'm more 3-0.
I don't
because
know.
Of my preseason prediction. Because you had to go all, you had to change.
I did.
From your preseason prediction. You thought that you, in your preseason prediction, that you had them losing
in
Baltimore.
Right.
That's
the only tiebreaker right now, because I thought about this.
Because we're really close.
Before, you were like, oh, I had the closer score in
the differential.
But you know what? That's like saying they won 3-0 and be like, oh, I was closer. No, no, no. I was closer to the correct
score. Somebody solve this. So if it was 42-28 in your prediction, or 3-0, and then 3-0, there was a 3-point difference, right?
Yeah.
3-0. I mean,
no, it's different.
I don't know what's right, what's wrong. But
I think being closer to
I'm
the
okay
actual.
With saying that we're tied in general, but the tiebreaker is my preseason prediction still being 3-0.
Right.
I have them 4-0 as well, so we'll see. Although we don't know how the picks are going. You have to watch Friday.
Yeah.
You have to see. So make sure you check all that out. Of course, keep picking up the newspaper. We still make those, I think. Do we still print? Okay, good. We're still printing as of today, so check back tomorrow. So anyway, pumped about all that. And so we'll be keep bringing this to you as the year goes along. What do you think? What do we think for
– Well,
for,
you know
– You got something?
Here's the thing. So I don't know how people feel about a Kansas City artist, because I love me some weird
Kansas City,
some weird Tech N9ne, man.
Give me some weird Tech N9ne. Let's do it.
One of the best stage shows you can ever find. You got to be ready for this though, because he's kind of got that Juggalo crowd. Them
weirdos.
Oh yeah, but you know what though?
So maybe hang out on the balcony. Hang out on the balcony.
Yeah,
from afar.
But Tech N9ne.
He's good. Okay, we'll throw some Tech N9ne. You pick whatever song you want from Tech N9ne. We'll throw this in. So here's a little Tech N9ne for you, little Kansas City artist for Kansas City Week. And so great having you listening to the BBP. Make sure you tweet at us, #BBP. Much better chance of you getting shout out and love, because we love those that love the BBP. So we'll talk to you next week.
Word.
Tech N9ne. Technician. It's time to get into some sin. You've been listening to gibberish hits in the interim. Demer done, cause hear me come.
So make you stand up, hands up, damn ya.
If you don't get it, get rid of it, trip if you're digging it. I guess I got more than my
spot, bow down, trick. I